once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. Then the heavens opened, and I saw that my name was written down. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by His blood I am made whole. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, and there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by His blood I am made whole. Yes, and there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down.
I hate to stop that, but that's beautiful. There's a new name written down in glory, and I sure hope it's yours. I hope your name is there. And if your name isn't there, you can get it there today. Repent. Turn to Christ with all your heart. Turn away from sin. Turn to serve the Lord, and He's ready. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't acquire it by some good works. It has to be by grace. But you will live good, and you will live right, and you will do right if you're truly saved. I believe that with all my heart. What a joy. Thank you for being part of Open Bible Dialogue. And we call it Open Bible Telecast on Facebook and Internet because they see me. may not always be the best, but I'm just here. And it's a joy. It's a joy. God bless your heart. Now, if you with Facebook are tired of seeing the picture and Internet of my sweetheart wife, just take me off your friends list, because I'm not going to be over that for a while. Maybe a couple of years from now, I'll get past it. But it'll take a while, because she was indeed my darling. Isn't she a beautiful thing? Those Facebook listeners, isn't she a beautiful thing? Can you imagine somebody like me getting somebody like her? I mean, it was a gift from God. That marriage was born in heaven, friend. I'm here to tell you, only God could have done that for me, little old snaggledose boy. I'm telling you the truth. I was such a brat. My dad had committed suicide a couple of years earlier, had been an alcoholic. I didn't have an education. I was a school dropout. But God has his wonderful plans for our lives. And I'm telling you today, he has all the glory. Whatever there is, anything that has happened through this ministry, we give God the glory. Hey, what does that say? Hallelujah. All right, something's wrong out there. There is an echo, okay? I'm too loud. That's very simple. I get too loud. Forgive me, everybody. Forgive me, everybody. I just like to hear me, and I don't hear me if it isn't up a little bit. And so is that better? I hope it is. An echo. Let's pray that echo is over, okay? I appreciate these ladies. They're the best. They really are. Thank you so much, ladies. You're just dear. All right. It's a joy today, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. I want this to be a great broadcast. I really do. I want you to be blessed and your life to be blessed. And if it echoes again, let me know. I'll do my best to put an end to it. I get loud, and I'm just loud. Listen, we got a great broadcast today. We're dealing with a subject that you got to get in the middle of. We're dealing with the subject the church is soon. The church is soon to make go to. What is my title? Wow, too many things. The church is about to fly. The church is about to fly. The church is about to fly. Are you getting that? I want you to hear it good. Now, what do you mean fly? I'm talking about rapture. I'm talking about up through the atmosphere, right up through the sky, right straight from here to heaven. Can you believe that? Can you actually believe that God is so supernatural and so beyond human understanding that the church, the bride of Christ, the saints of the living God are about to leave this earth and just go flying right up through the sky, right up through the atmosphere? You say, is the earth going to lose its gravity hold? No, if it did, everybody would go. And everything would be flying through the air. No, just the saints, just the blood washed. Yes, those who live in godly and pure and holy, who've turned loose the world and took a hold of the Lord. The Bible makes it plain, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The church is about to fly. Do you hear me? All over the world, I want you to listen to me. The church is about to fly. I had a call this week, last week from Hong Kong. Listeners in Hong Kong, all over France. Last month, over 500 in France had tuned in to our internet. That's just internet. I'm not talking about Facebook. Facebook is probably many times bigger than internet for us. I really don't know that. But I do know we have a great crowd and a great company. And if you are an internet listener right now, you need to send this to your friends. Share it. You know that little word over there says share? You go over there and click on that, and it will send it to everybody on your friends list. Everybody on your friends list. And so if about 1,000 of my friends would send it to all of their friends. Some of you have more than I have. I've got 4,000 and something. Some of you have more than that. regardless, look at the people. We would expand this program and maybe reach them for Christ and reach them to understand the rapture is at hand, friend. The rapture is at hand. I'm going to give you today 11 reasons why we know the rapture is at hand. 11 reasons, and there are many others. Many others, can only go so far in an hour. I wish I had more time, but I couldn't afford it, and I'm too old for it. An hour is my limit. And it's a joy. So share it with your friends, internet people, share it with your friends, let them know on the internet, and then of course radio all over these areas we own. Share it, call your friends, tell them, listen, give them your call letters, 1240, 1270, whatever it is, in different places, and let's get people listening and get them ready to meet the Lord. If you're not ready for the rapture, friend, then you're not really ready to live. If you're not ready for the rapture, you're not really ready to live. I'm going to give you 11 reasons why the rapture is about to take place. Now, first, let's go to the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 4. The book of Revelation, chapter 4. Here is a perfect picture of the rapture. I mean, it is as perfect as you can find in the Bible. The book of Revelation, 4:1. After this, I looked. Now, notice John said, I looked. We're talking about what John saw. We're not talking about what John heard. I'm going to be doing that all through this study of Revelation, is showing you what John saw. John saw it. It was like a vision. It was like a great drama. It was like a great, beautiful drama in front of him. And he said, I looked and saw, and behold, I looked and behold, a door. He saw this now. A door was opened in heaven. He saw the door opened in heaven. Man, what? How can you ever understand anything clearer than this? He saw a door opened in heaven, and the first voice, once the door was open, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. The first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, come up hither. Now, John is invited to leave the earth where he's having this dream. No, not a dream, a drama. In that cave on the Isle of Patmos, he's having this vision, and he saw now this door opened in heaven. And then he heard a voice. He heard a voice out of that door which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Notice that word, hereafter. Now, he just heard these visions and this picture of the church, and heard this great church expressions in Revelation 2 and 3. And now he's seeing this great drama, this great vision, and he hears a voice say, come up hither. So God is inviting John to come up off the earth into heaven, that he can see what's taking place now in the future. Come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Can't happen yet, but hereafter. And immediately he said, I was in the spirit. He couldn't have went up no other way. He was in the body in that cave, but in a moment's time, he's in the spirit. The Holy Ghost has caught him up in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, you can't make out of this nothing but the rapture. I'm trying to show you in such a manner that nobody can convince you that this is not the rapture. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon these seats I saw 24 elders. Now, here is John seeing this drama in heaven. He first sees the throne of God, and the sight is breathtaking. I mean breathtaking. He describes it with the best words he could come up with. I mean, it, just absolutely beautiful. But then immediately around that throne in heaven, he sees 24 seats. And on those seats are elders. Now, how did those elders get there? Elders, those are people who are part of the church and who are in authority in the kingdom, and they're caught up and they are elders around the throne. Now, you can't have that unless you had the rapture. How do you have elders from the earth around the throne in heaven if it's not the rapture? It's clear. It is so beautiful. Don't let nobody convince you of anything else. I'm telling you, round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. Now notice, clothed with white raiment. Now when are the saints going to have white raiment? They're going to have it when the rapture takes place. The Bible makes that plain. The rapture garment is the white robes of the saints. The rapture garments. You can see that in the Bible, that these people are dressed in white are rapture saints caught up before God in his throne. And listen, white raiments, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, nobody's going to get their crowns of gold until the rapture. Nobody's going to get their reward until the rapture. You can't even about to make the saints of God in heaven on thrones getting their crowns of gold until the rapture takes place. Are you getting my understanding? Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, or the person of the Holy Ghost in his totality. The person of the Holy Ghost in all the offices that he fulfills in his church. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Before the throne, a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, four living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. Hey, and the four beasts had each of them six wings. And verse 9, when these beasts gave glory and honor to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now God on his throne, the 24 elders all around the throne, the Holy Ghost there, the great cherubims, the living creatures are there. Oh, this is a heavenly scene that takes place when the rapture occurs. No other time, no other way of place this scene any time but after the rapture. Now, if you don't want to believe that, you wait till we get to next week's chapter 5, and you will see how absolutely no way to understand anything else but that this is the rapture. We are about to fly. We are about to fly. The saints of the living God, the blood-washed crowd, the godly people who live in a godly life are about to fly, friend. We're about to go up in that rapture. It could happen. I was sitting at home this morning, and I was saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I wanted him to come right then. I really did. Now, you lose a wife after 62 years, and you loved her more than you loved your own flesh. You loved her, with everything in you. You don't get over this early. I don't know how long it takes. I've never been through it before. But I can tell you one thing. I'm committed to it. She was my bride, and I loved her. But I want to go up in that rapture, because immediately, when that rapture occurs, I'll see Juanita, and Juanita will see Joseph, and we'll be together, and we're going to stroll over heaven, brother. We're going to stroll over heaven. We're going to go see that place together. I believe that with all of my heart. Oh, what a day, what a day. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Do you understand that this is the grandest thing you could ever hope for? This is the grandest thing you could look forward to. This is the celebration of celebrations that has been planned all through the Bible, all through the scripture. I'm telling you, David will be there, the great King David. Elijah will be there. Elisha will be there. Listen to me. Paul and Peter and James and John, those great prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Zechariah will be there. It'll be the company of companies. It'll be the greats of all ages. It'll be every blood-washed saint of God that live in clean and pure and holy. And we'll be there together. You're talking about a day. You're talking about a grand hour. You're talking about a breathtaking moment. It really is at the door. It really is at the door. Now, you can read right on, and you ought to read this fourth chapter of Revelation today. Read it several times. Read it all week this week. It'll do something for you. It's exciting. It's exciting. Oh, what a day. What a day. I'm living for it. Are you? Anybody out there living for this day? Are you living for some other worldly thing, some other earthly thing, some other accomplishment? Make more money, get bigger car, get a bigger house. I'm not against them things if you can do it without losing your joy, without walking close to Christ. But be careful. If you've ever walked close to the cross, it's time. Now, we're going to do something. I'm going to end up in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. The third chapter of 2 Timothy. That's where I plan to end. You know, I don't always get my plans because sometimes they get directed other ways. But I want you to really hear these things that we're going to talk about. I really do. I want you to hear them. 11 reasons we know the rapture could take place any minute. 11 reasons we know the rapture could take place any minute. Every Bible sign is finished. That's the first. Every Bible sign is finished. Now, let me stop a moment, give you the phone number, because I want you involved with this discussion. I really do. I want you involved. Here's the numbers, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. International, of course, 011-704-391-0588 and JRC at paulcreek.org. And I will go to the internet in a little while. And if you have a question there, I'll answer it. Okay. Had one last week I missed. I meant to go find it, but didn't get a chance this morning. So please, whoever that was, send it again. Will you? I'd like to answer that question on the broadcast today. So let me hear from you. You are important to me. I want you to be right involved. I want questions and answers. The phones are open. Got two precious ladies answering the phone. And they will treat you nothing but nice. And you can order this free booklet on the church is about to fly. Free booklet on the church is about to fly. I want you to have this booklet because I want you to get proof that nobody can take away from you that this rapture is ready any minute. It's ready to go, friend. I'm ready to fly. How many of you are ready to fly? Hallelujah. Can you imagine leaving this earth, a brand new body, the garments of righteousness, right up through that celestial heavens into the eternal presence of the King of Kings? It's time to fly. I'm telling you, it is time to fly. Now, number one was, every Bible sign has been completed, finished. I don't know one. I love the Bible as good as anybody could love it, I guess. I search it. I dig in it. I live in it. I love it. It's important to me, and I don't know a thing that's got to take place. Number two, the ability to mark every human being on this earth is now possible. The ability to mark every human being on this earth is now possible. You know that. Definitely and clearly possible. Everything you do anymore is up for people to know about. If you say you want to hide, there is no hiding place in this world today. They have a picture of your home on the internet and all kinds of information. I mean, there is just no way to hide. And so don't even try it. The devil has got everything ready for his Antichrist. And the world has certainly served the worldly purpose of getting everything ready for the Antichrist and don't even know it in most cases. Just getting the world ready. Everything's ready for you to have a mark on your forehead, your right hand, and have to use that mark to go in to buy anything. I get amazed today how they check you everywhere that you go, how they keep up with you, everything about you. Everything about you. There's nothing here. They know all about you. They really do. So the mark's ready. The mark is ready. The Antichrist can control you right now. Right now, the Antichrist could control the world. Okay? You got that clearly. The ability for the Antichrist to talk to the world is almost complete. The ability for the Antichrist to go on the internet and talk in a language he knows and it be translated into every language of the world. That is a technology right now on the verge of becoming available. Right now, that ability. You say, Brother Chambers, wait a minute, what are you talking about? The Antichrist will be in Jerusalem. He will have a supernatural miracle in which there will be an image of him, and that image will be given life. And the world will see the Antichrist image, and they will see it come alive and act like a human. And while that Antichrist is coming alive and acting like a human, he will give out a decree. And that decree will say the whole world must be marked. Nobody can buy and sell any longer except they are marked. You understand? Now, when that happens, the world has got to understand it. And that technology is on the verge. Literally, I will be able, if Jesus tarries, to soon do this broadcast, and any nation in the world where it lands, and it lands everywhere, they'll be able to hear it in their language and not my language. You say, Brother Chambers, that's overwhelming. I know, but that's the technology. The world had to get ready for the Antichrist. If he didn't have that technology, how would he do it? He's got to have it. He will have it. I think it's probably ready right now. But they tell us, you know, and to buy the software that I could do it would probably be expensive beyond measure. I certainly wouldn't be able to afford it. It would probably be in the thousands of dollars to translate my words into Chinese and Russian and Ukraine and Africa and all the different African dialects and all the different dialects of China, all the different dialects of India, all the different dialects of the world. That will soon be possible, and the Antichrist will be able to communicate with the whole world at one time. You say, Brother Chambers, well, that's a technology that's overwhelming, but it was necessary. It was necessary to get ready for the Antichrist. Number three, the unity of nations. The unity of nations. We in America right now, our president is being fought like a tiger because he is talking about nationalism. He's talking about America coming first, and the world don't like that because the world is getting ready for a massive army to march into the area north of Jerusalem and get ready for the Battle of Armageddon. And so the world's nations have got to be united to the point and place where there can be a world army, and that is soon to be. About the only thing now to keep it from happening is America. And we just don't want to be part of that. We just don't want to be part of that. Well, that capacity is in development stage. That capacity, I should say, is already there. And all you got to have is a couple, you know, in nations like America to quit talking about nationalism and just become part of a world without borders. Did you hear in recent months people like Hillary, others connected with the liberal expressions of America? They want a world without borders. They want a world that is only governed by one world council of people and churches. Hey, I was supposed to take a call and hadn't took it. I'm sorry, ladies. I'll start now. Let me get with these phones. You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, that's not up. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. This is Jimmy Priest from Wilmington.
Hey, man.
While you were talking about the rapture, I thought about the song I used to sing in the early 60s. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Here's the first verse. We won't need a guided missile when Gable blows his whistle. We won't need a rocket standing by. Through the Lord's amazing grace, we will sail through outer space on the satellite of heaven by and by. Then we'll go zoom, 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 far above the moon. We'll take a stroll along the Milky Way on the satellite of heaven by and by. I'm looking for the rapture any time now.
Any moment, brother, it could happen. We're going to fly. Do you know that?
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. I've been ready for 67 years.
Oh, you're kidding. 67? You got me 2 years.
I've been saved 67, going on 82 now. But I'm looking for the Lord any.
You got saved at 14.
Anytime.
You got saved at 14. Did you know that?
That's right.
14 years old. And I got saved at 16 because I'll be 62 in January on the 19th. And I've been saved 65 years. Be 66 in March of 2018. I love you, brother.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Hey, somebody else, grab your phones. I don't know, is line one ready for me? I hope so. Are you there on line one? Oh, I lost that one. I probably waited too long. I'm sorry. Call back. Please call back. I don't want anybody to be missed. You are important. And so you grab your phone. Make sure I don't hold some line up here. Give us a call. Want to hear from you. Listen, listen. We are so near. We are ready to fly. I like that call, didn't you? That song, I never heard that. But, you know, I believe it. We won't need nothing like rockets. We won't need no gas to propel us. The Holy Ghost is going to be our gas, brother. The Holy Ghost is going to be our propulsion. What a day that's going to be. Now, the unity of the nations, remember that? That's very important. The nations have all got to come together. There's got to be a one world order. And we're right on the threshold. On the threshold, almost got it complete, except America's rebellion right now. Then the Catholic Pope. The Catholic Pope is going to be ready to rule and lead a one world church, and he is there. Have you followed the Catholic things and what's happening, his statements and his doings? He's completely ready for the one world church. He's completely ready for the one world church. Now keep calling. I want your questions. I want your opinions today. They'll be very important to me because the church is about to fly and I want to make sure I get you ready out there. I do. I'm burdened for the unsaved. I'm burdened for the unsaved. Now the lines are open. So grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I'm waiting for you to call. Now number five. Please remember. The Catholic Pope is getting ready for a one world religion. Oh, he's big time for it. He's big time for it. And he's big time working in that direction. And he really is doing the job well. He's compromised everything of moral values so any religion in the world could join. He's compromised everything of moral value so nobody has to, you know, feel bad if they happen to live in sin, sodomite, whatever they might be. All of us being united together and the Pope is leading the way without a question. Now, Bible theology is no longer a hindrance. Bible theology is no longer a hindrance. I'm telling you, nobody in the church world as a whole, now there's a few exceptions like Joe Chambers and others, Bible theology is just not important. I mean, it is no hindrance anymore to one world religion. It is no hindrance anymore to one world religion. And you on the air, may I help you please?
Yes, Dr. Chambers, I have a question. Revelation 3:11.
Hey, can you start over? And I got the sound right now. I think I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, in Revelation 3:11, end of the verse, no man take thy crown. Did you understand me?
No man take thy crown. Be careful. Be committed so nobody gets your crown. Yes.
All right, explain that in a little more detail.
Okay, explain that in detail. I like that. You see, every man has a calling. Every person, God has a plan for your life. Every person, God has a responsibility laid on you. If you don't fulfill that responsibility, God will find somebody who will and somebody who can. And so when you don't do the job God called you to do and God has to get somebody else to do it, that person has taken your crown.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes.
So God has a calling for you. Are you fulfilling that which God has called you for?
That's okay.
How are you doing it?
Doing great.
Are you being faithful in everything that God's laid on your heart?
Yes.
Okay, you keep that up, okay? Thank you for calling. That was a good question, sir.
Thank you.
That was a good question. I like questions like that. How do you lose your crown? How does somebody else take your crown? They simply do what you're supposed to do. I mean, here I am called for this radio program. This radio program is ordained of God, I have no doubt. My wife and I started it in 1972 or 73. I'm not really sure. 1972 or 73. My wife probably only missed 20 Saturdays in 40-some years of being right in there helping me do this radio program. She'd come in here, and I got this cord around my back. She'd come in here and fix it where nobody didn't see it. And I don't like inviting ladies to come in like that. And so I'm just putting up with it. Simply because I don't want to be overbearing on the ladies now who are not my wife. But my wife, Buddy, she watched after me. They brought me a note a while ago. I was echoing. Well, she used to be the one. And I'm so grateful that our lady did that. Because that reminds me of her and somebody stepping in to help me. See, I'm telling you, God has a place for you. God has a responsibility for you. I am not going to fail in mine. I am not going to fail in mine. I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven so bad I can hardly stand it because my sweetheart's gone. And if I wasn't living for Jesus, I would be determined to go just as quickly as I can. But because I got a calling and I got a responsibility, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to stand strong, strong. All right, another call. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Local number now, 704-391-0588. Now, let me go and see if I can get a hold of get a hold of my emails and see if anybody has asked me a question today on the email. All right, I'm looking here to make sure I find it. So if you want to send an email, it's jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Well, I don't see any here. If you wait till the last 10, 15 minutes, you're probably going to miss it, okay? I would love to have your question. I would do my living best to answer it, but you have to ask it before I can answer it, okay? By internet, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Well, don't see any here. I'm waiting. Was it after? Oh, yeah, here's one. Was it after the great flood that the life expectancy of people dropped from 100 years to a drastic new level of numbers? I think it started at the time of the flood. Before the flood, you could live 800-900 years. After the flood, it seemed that God suggested 120 years was going to be the limit. And so, yes, after the flood and the rays from the sun began to penetrate. See, the earth, during the period before the flood, there was a great, like a canopy over the earth. There was no rain falling. The earth was bringing up its waters from the earth itself. And the atmosphere was protective of human life. And so man could live 800-900 years. Well, that changed at the time of the flood. If there was only 8 people on the ark, how did 12 distinct tribes of Israel get established? Well, because it wasn't established till the grandson, great grandsons of Abraham. His son, Isaac, and then Jacob had 12 sons. And so it was established on the basis of the 12 sons of Isaac after Jacob, after Abraham had died. So it was established after Abraham died with his 12 sons. And that became the basis of all the nation of Israel. Remember, it was Jacob whose name was changed to Israel. So Jacob was God's divine beginning of the 12 tribes of Abraham, which became the 12 Old Testament patriarchs. So that's a great question, by the way, lady. Thank you so very much. And anybody else that has a question, I will do my best to answer. I really do love it. I really do love it. Thank you very much, Sandy. God bless your heart. Let's get back here to where I'm supposed to be on the air. I'm still there, I think. Here we are. Now, call quickly. I want to hear from you. 704-391. 0588, 704-391-0588, okay? Want to hear from you. Local number, 704-391-0588, international number. Well, no, American Canada, 1-800-338-7884. Then international, 011, and then 704. Okay, want to hear from you. Now, let's get back to these things that we see. There are absolute proofs, absolute proofs. Absolute proofs that we are right at the verge of the coming of the Lord. Number 6, remember, was Bible theology is no longer important. It's no longer a hindrance. It don't matter which you believe, you can become a part of the church world today. It don't matter how far off you are. I mean, they've invited the Jesus only crowd right into the middle. They've invited the Watchman Tower crowd right into the middle of the church. They've invited the Mormons right into the midst of the church. I mean, it's just amazing. Even the Muslims are now being invited, and you've got the Christ. What is it, Christ? How do you say the word? I'm trying to remember now. Christ and Muslims together. Christlam, I believe is the right word. That's Christians and Muslims blended together. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Now, one world Bible. Hey, the next one. A one world Bible. Now, what Bible will be the one world Bible? I'm going to do a program on that shortly. I'm going to do a program on the One World Bible because I got to get into different versions and see if I can come up with what I would believe could be a One World Bible. The NIV is very close. Their new inclusive version where God can be a man or a woman. Either a man or a woman. Don't have to be a masculine figure. He can be a feminine figure in the minds of these people. Well, that's where we are. So the NIV is as close right now to being a one world book or Bible as you could get. If your church has got an NIV Bible as their text, your church is moving into the new world order. Your church is backslid. If you were saved, you would feel better and know better in a day. The Holy Spirit in you wouldn't let you get away with a Bible that is a compromised version. Too many people are seeing the light on this and getting out of these corrupt versions of the Bible. Well, you got the good news for modern man. Good news for modern man. You know, inclusive languages. You got numbers of them. Well, I need to do a study to see if I could come up with the one that I think would be the most apparent Bible for a new world order, a new world church. Well, that, you got to have that. And we've got those that will right now will work to be a one world Bible. And I would say the NIV is certainly a big power in this cause. Okay? You understand? A one world Bible. Can you imagine a one world Bible? A Bible that fits the all the different theologies and thinking and attitudes and actions and the emotionalism. A church without a cross, a church without, you know, any kind of spiritual standards. I mean, it's amazing to me what has happened to the church world. Number 8, sodomy is acceptable now on a worldwide basis. Sodomy is now accepted on a worldwide basis. Now, there's some, you know, the Muslims are against it. That's amazing. This false religion that's against sodomy. Well, that in a way is kind of good, but in a way it doesn't do anything, doesn't change anything. But sodomy, and nobody helped make that happen like Hillary and Obama. They championed the cause of sodomy all over this globe. They even made American money that was available to countries that would compromise their standard against sodomy. That is amazing. That is amazing. Some of you didn't catch that on your news back through the last 2 or 3 years, but it was big time. Hey, the lines are open. You should be on this phone asking me questions. You really should. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Hey, quickly, let's have some questions now. I got 18 minutes, 19 minutes, and I want to fill them with questions. I really do. I want to help you. All right, number 9, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, what a sign of the end right before Jesus would come. That people would rather be at a ball game. Look at the sports on Sunday. The sports on Sunday. It's a sin for you to be involved in sports on Sunday. If you're involving yourself in Sunday sports, don't tell me you're saved. If you were born again, the Holy Spirit in you would tell you you're wrong. If you want to know why you can know you're not saved, it's because you love things that are contrary to the Bible. That's why you know you're not saved. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves in here and He condemns you. He convicts you. He gives you a sense of right and wrong. If you don't have no conscience, sense of right and wrong, you're not born again, friend. Nothing will help you understand why you know and can know that you're not ready for the rapture. It's when you don't have any convictions about anything. You can do anything you want to and not feel bad about it. You can go anywhere you want to go and not feel bad about it. You can tell nasty jokes and talk dirty language and drink and cuss and swear and not feel bad about it. You that ought to tell you, you cannot be saved if you don't have convictions. When the Holy Spirit moves in here, He brings with Him the convictions of the Bible. When the Holy Spirit moves in here, He brings with Him the conviction of the Bible. I'm patting the Bible here. When the Holy Spirit moves in here, He brings the convictions of the Bible. He really does. I mean, you say, Brother Chambers, you're so tight. What do you want? You want me to help you go to heaven? Or you want me to help you be deceived and go to hell? What do you want me to do for you? You want me to help you make sure you're right with God? Or you want me to try to soothe your conscience and make you do and feel any way you want to feel? I can't do that. I got to answer to God for what I say. And I cannot say things that are not biblical. Now, number 10, the natural love of children for parents. Now, grandmothers, granddaddies, all over my listening audience, mamas and daddies, all over my listening audience, have you not seen in your lifetime, the last 20 years, let's say, that children and grandchildren don't have time for grandmothers and granddaddies and fathers and mothers? Have you seen that? Oh, they got an excuse. I'm so busy. No, it's not an excuse. I mean, nobody works more than, let's say, 10 hours a day. And you sleep 6-7 hours at night. Hours you still got left? If you work 10 hours a day and you sleep 8 hours at night, do you know how many hours you've still got left? You've still got 6 hours left. You've got 6 hours left. There's not a one of you that don't have plenty of time to take care of your love for mamas and daddies and grandmothers and grandfathers. You don't do it because you've left it and because the Bible said it would happen. Natural love would disappear. Natural love would disappear. And it has really disappeared. You say, are you talking from experience? I sure am. But I'm talking from a host of people that I talk to on a regular basis, and they are squalling and crying and heartbroken because their family doesn't have room for them. My wife has been dead about 6 weeks. I've got children that haven't been in my home. I've got grandchildren that haven't been in my home for those 6 weeks. In fact, almost all of them. They're too busy. They'll tell me, Papa, you got to understand I'm so busy. Yeah, but something's wrong. Something's missing. Something's not where it ought to be. Do you listen to me? The natural love of children for parents has vanished. The natural love for children has vanished. No question about it. Now, one more thing here before I go to the Bible. Offense. Oh, yeah. Offense at other people. There's never been a day when people have got offense at other people and carried it for years, on top of years, on top of years. I have people that have been offended at me for over 20 years. Offended at me for over 20 years. And they're waiting for me to do something. I don't know. Different ones have different things. I remember a man that's now dead, died suddenly. Never had a chance, I don't guess, to repent. And he was offended at me. And I called him, would you please, let's eat together. I love you. I helped win you to Christ. You're important to me. And we ate together. And I said to him, called his first name, why are you offended at me? He said, I don't know. Well, why are you offended? Give it up. I don't understand why I'm offended, but I just am. And that's all he could say. He couldn't even tell me why he was offended. That's the condition of multitudes of you. You offended the people, and you don't even remember why you offended at them. What is wrong, Brother Chambers? It's the spirit of the day. It's the Antichrist spirit. It's the spirit the world is being filled with. People are offended at one another. People hate one another. People despise one another. People gripe and find fault with other people. It's a world. If you are offended at somebody and you've been offended for 12 months and you haven't done something about it, you are the one responsible. What do they need to do? Just repent for being offended. I've had people hurt me so bad, my heart would throb. I get on my knees and say, God, I'm not going to care this now. I'm coming to the cross, and I'm believing Jesus to wash me and cleanse me. Every bit of this offense to disappear out of my life, and it would leave me. And then I couldn't even tell you why I had been offended. It was gone. I can tell you, I'm sitting here in front of the world, and I can tell you there's nobody on the face of this earth that I feel offense at right now. Not one person. If I came up with somebody, I promise you I'll go get something done about it tomorrow. I had to deal with a parent in our school Friday. I could easily be offended to that dear lady because she was just hard-headed and stubborn. But I won't be offended. I'll minister to her and I'll help her and I'll be a blessing to her. And the last words I said to her, I sure do love you and your family. I sure hope you don't carry this on and keep on in this kind of stuff. You know, that's just how I am. I don't care offense, and you better not. You will not go in that rapture if you offended at anybody when that rapture takes place. If you're sitting around blah, 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 and just griping and mouthing about somebody who did something to you, give it up. Forgive them. You say they haven't asked me to forgive them. What is that? What effect should that have on you? You don't just forgive people because they ask. You forgive people because you are guilty, because you are feeling offended. Boy, am I doing some good stuff here. If everybody out there would listen to this, our world would go through a drastic change. Our churches would go through a drastic change. I'm telling you, I'm giving you what the Lord gave me. And it's real, it's real. Get that offense out of your life. You say, I can't, they hurt me so bad. When you forgive them, you probably in a week or two or three, maybe a month, you won't even remember how they hurt you. I can forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Oh, no. You haven't forgiven nobody if you can't forget it. No, sirree, don't even tell me you have, because it ain't so. Whoo, I'm giving you the truth. Great. Hey, Brother Chambers, thank you, man. You're helping us today. I'm out to help you because the rapture's thing take place. That church is thing fly. That church is thing fly. And if you're full of offense, you ain't going nowhere. You are, he said, if you won't forgive those who offend you, I'm not going to forgive you for offending me. That's what Jesus said. He can't forgive anybody that hasn't forgiven their offenses. He cannot forgive you. So get on your knees. Brother Chambers, I'm in a mess. Well, get on your knees and pray till the blood washes you. Pray till that blood of Jesus goes through your head, your memory, your thinking capacity, your lips, your hands, your whole being, and you'll be clean from the head to the toes, and you'll be shouting happy, and you'll go to church tomorrow, and when the church starts shouting, you'll be shouting with them because the offense is gone. When you give up offense, you feel like a new man. When you give up offense, you feel like you've been washed from your head down to your toes. I'm giving you the truth right out of my heart because I care about you. I love you. Now, let's go to the book. The book of 2 Timothy. Hey, the lines are open. I know I've been talking with such good stuff that you don't have time to pick up your phone to ask the question, but now you've got time. So ask the question. Grab your phone. I want about 6 or 8 right quick, my next 12 minutes, okay? I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I want to help you get ready for the rapture. Now, I'm preaching in the morning on a great sermon that God's poured into my heart. I'm not going to tell you what it is. If you don't want to come just to hear the word of God, I don't want you to come just to hear a special sermon. So come to hear the word of God at Paul Creek in the morning. I promise you, I'll be preaching with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to go to bed. I'm not going to get up in the morning and quit praying until I know God's going to anoint me to preach. I don't play with this. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is my lifeline. I live for that anointing, friend. I live for that anointing. It ain't me. It isn't any good thing about me. It isn't any talent I got. It's not some great ability that's resident in Joe Chambers. I am nothing but a servant of the Lord. And I want you to hear the word of God in the morning. Paul Creek Church, you know where we are? 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Easy to find. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, right off of Interstate 85. If you get to the Billy Graham Freeway where it crosses 85, you're about a half a mile from our church. And we'd love to have you. I promise you, we'd make you at home. Now let's get to the Bible. Listen to this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The last days, perilous time, dangerous time. That word last comes from a word that means the final. It means the furthest. It means the last of the last of the last. And that's where we are. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Oh, man. Have you ever seen the day when people love themselves so deeply? Lovers of themselves, covetous, always coveting something, want something they ain't got, want something somebody else got, want something they saw in a catalog, want something they saw in a picture window, want something they heard about, want something somebody else has bought. You know, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. You never get too old to listen to your mommy and daddy. They may not always be right, but you can respect them. You can show them nothing but your love. You can treat them with the deepest of respect. Lovers of parents, notice this. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. They don't thank God for nothing. Like a pig under an oak tree, eating acorns all day, and never look up to see where the oaks come from. Hey, I've helped raise pigs. I know. They'll eat all day under an oak tree, gnawing up those acorns, and never look up. And that's how the church world is today. Never looking up to thank God for what he's done for them. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Oh, listen to that. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. Do you know we got a world of people today where husbands and wives have been led into the acts of sodomy. Husbands and wives have been led into the acts of unnatural sex. Unnatural sex. Sodomy. You can't call anything but sodomy when it's sodomy. I don't care who it is, man and man, woman and woman. The world has gone insane. I remember being in a conference of preachers when a psychologist from the School of Theology told them, don't be judgmental if you got a family in your church and the husband and wife want to be taught how to enjoy oral sex. My friend, that's from the devil. Do you understand me? That's from the devil. And I don't mind telling you, brother, if you're into that world, you are in an unnatural world. Unnatural. Unholy. Without natural affections, false accusers, or truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, that's a big one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, what does he say? From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you're in a church that's all got all kinds of forms, like the Church of Elevation here in Charlotte, none but a form of godliness. It's a rock and roll concert. That's all it is. None but a rock and roll concert. If that's your religion, you just got a form of godliness. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood. You need to get right with God. Get your heart cleaned up. If you're in churches like that, all it is a lot of noise. They're cutting the lights out now in the congregation so people can shout without anybody watching them, because if somebody watches them, they know people are shouting that don't live it. You know, it's full of it. It's full of it. Hey, friend, the church is about to fly. The church is about to fly. I've given you enough good, solid material today to help you get right with God if you would let yourself. Some of you aren't going to let yourself. You're too happy living like you please. You're too happy loving pleasures. You're too happy giving your Sunday over to your own enjoyment and the things you enjoy doing. You love to go to those ball games on Sunday afternoon and watch them on Sunday evening instead of go to the house of God. And maybe you're part of a church that just brings it all into the church. That's even worse. Listen to friend. Listen to me. We are living on the verge of the coming of the Lord. If you ever got yourself right, ready to fly, you better get ready to fly. Now, I'm here to love you. I've got just a few moments here to tell you how much I care, how important you are, how much I want to see you get things right with God, how much I want to see you learn the truths of this Bible. Now, I got time for a couple questions. 1-800-338-7884. Anybody out there that loves what I've said, call me and just say, hey, I like what you've been saying today. I'm going to live this. I'm going to give up offenses that I've had. I've carried this against so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Ain't carrying nothing another day. I'm giving it to God. I'm going to be washed in the blood. I'm going to be clean, and I'm going to be ready to go. I'm going to be ready to go. Hey, I love you, friends. My gracious, I love you. I want to help you make sure you're ready when Jesus comes. I don't want you to miss it. Now, you need to call Every one of you need to get this booklet. Every one of you. Don't put it off. The ladies are standing by right now to take your phone number, your address, whatever. If you're already on our list, just give them your name and I think you give them your name and your zip code. But if you're not, if we don't have your address, we need your address, friend, because you need to be involved. You need to learn. Everybody out there, now call. These ladies will stay here as long as that phone rings. And I hope you will ring it off for the next 30 minutes while you call and get this material. Get on our mailing list and give a donation. Get behind us. Be a part of what we're doing. We are doing the Lord's work. That's all we're doing, the Lord's work. We want you to get in this Bible, and we want you to get right with God. I've given you nothing but truth today. I've given you a bunch of it. I really have. And I've loved every minute of it. And I want you to grow in the Lord. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I've been listening to you broadcast about every Saturday.
Good.
I just had one question for you, sir.
Okay, I would love to answer.
Have you been baptized in Jesus' name like Peter said?
Yes, I have, sir. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, just like the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
Are you a Jesus only? Do you know your God is all mixed up? Sometimes he thinks he's Jehovah. Sometimes he thinks he's Jesus. And sometimes he thinks he's the Holy Spirit. It sounds like you've got a schizophrenia God.
No.
Yes, you have. You got a God that's a schizophrenic. He don't even know what he is. He thinks he's the Father. Then he thinks he's the Son. Then he thinks he's the Holy Ghost. You better get the real God, brother. The one Jesus came to represent. The Father loved you and sent you the Son. Now, please, please, get off of that false doctrine. I have no time for it. Period. Well, woo! Can you believe that would be the call at the end of a program? A Jesus only, who don't even understand the Father said, let us make man in our own image. Doesn't even know that the Father is seen in the book of Revelation 30 times, the Son 27 times, and the Holy Ghost 23 times, and they're never seen as one. They're always seen as three entities, one God. Oh, he's so mixed up. I feel sorry for him. Those are the most confused people in the world, that Jesus only crowd. Hey, give me a call. I'll take your number and I'll be glad to answer. I'd love to be a blessing. I'm just plain here to be a blessing. That's the only reason I'm here. I care about you. I reach out for you. I want to help you walk with God and go the way of the Lord and do the pure things of God. Now, I got 2 minutes, so I got time for one more call. I would love to have that because I love to answer your questions. And if you're Jesus only, I'll tell you about your schizophrenic God. Don't even know who he is. Sometimes he thinks he's the Father. Sometimes he thinks he's the Son. Sometimes he thinks he's the Holy Ghost. Isn't that pitiful? I mean, a God don't even know who he is. A God that don't even know how to represent himself. What happened in heaven when Jesus was on the earth? I guess heaven was taken over by the devil since the Father vacated his heavenly throne to come down and die on the cross. No, he sent his Son, the Bible says. Sent his Son. Woo! What a picture. Isn't the Bible wonderful? I love the Holy Bible with all my heart. I really do. Hey, friend, it's a joy today to bring you this good news. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to grow in his grace. I want you to be in church with me tomorrow. I would love to have you in church tomorrow. I promise you, love will meet you at the door. The love will meet you at the door at this place. Now, we're trying right now. We're getting ready. New awning's going to be put up around our whole church that's already paid for. And we're raising money to buy a sign out front. And we'd like for you to help us buy that sign out front. It's going to cost $20,000. And you could be a blessing to that. If you'd like to, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Mr. Sanders. When God said Jesus had all power over all things and put it, he said he'd put it under his feet. Isn't after the millennium, after that, don't
I'm having a hard time understanding you. I've been doing good today. Move back from your phone just a little bit and say all of that again.
I said, when God gave Jesus the authority, the power of with all things under his feet.
Yes, the Bible says that. God put all power under his Son's feet. How could they be the same person?
Right.
Hey, I got to go. You'll have to forgive me. I don't have an opportunity to do otherwise. Hey, friend, it's been a joy today. What a broadcast. What a broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I have loved it, and I am grateful, and I want to share with you now a little bit of music that will bless your soul. I really believe that. It will bless your soul, and that's what I love doing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and it's going to be any moment. Do you understand? When Jesus is coming.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Oh, hallelujah.
Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
I love it. I love it.
When my Jesus,
he's coming. He's coming.
I shall see when I look upon his face.
Hallelujah.
The one who saves me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day.
Can we stop a moment and go back to that last verse and let's have a testimony or two of somebody about the coming of the Lord?